So the big question being asked at this this panel, this forum, is what could a national day look like that is inclusive for all Australians? So I'd love to know what you think a national day that would be inclusive for all Australians could look like.
Look, I think we kind of have the components there of what that would look like. I know that Wesley, the director, has been talking about having some structure to a national day where we would have Aboriginal and Indigenous influences throughout the day. There would be time for celebration, a time for reflection, a time for thinking about the future. So I think all of those components are there at the moment. I'm probably more interested in the process of how we might get there and how we might get, I think, to a different date, which in my view is a must.
What date would you suggest?
I don't have a date in mind, and it's not really important to me.
No.
The issue, fundamental issue for me, and there are many with the current date, is that it's illogical. It doesn't really make sense. And when we look at other countries like the United States, like France, any other established country, they celebrate on their day of independence, not a day when they established a colony, not a day, even though it wasn't discovered, that people think that it was discovered by non-Indigenous people. So for me, there's a, you know, I think if you're talking to people from other countries and you try to tell the story of why we celebrate Australia Day on the 26th of January, I think you'll really struggle to come up with a good yarn and something that sort of inspires people and, you know, really gets them interested about that particular day.
Why do you think then there is such a reluctance to move towards a more inclusive and an empathetic National Day of celebration? Because when we talk about this in the media, there are so many people who seem very supportive and very enthusiastic about changing the way that we celebrate our country and changing the day that we celebrate our country. But there's also this very big pushback to changing what is currently done.
My view is that it's fear and laziness. I think there's a fear, there's at least a discomfort by a lot of people in this country who recognise that there has been a massive injustice against Indigenous people, and the date of Australia Day kind of points to that. So there's a bit of sort of putting the blinkers on and not really wanting to think about that, because that's not a great story for this country. You know, we've got our great stories around the Anzacs, great sporting achievements that we're all too happy to discuss and repeat. But this isn't one of them. So I think there's a bit of fear, a bit of discomfort. They say, open the door to these types of discussions, and how far do these go? So I think there's a bit of that. And there's also just a bit of laziness, in my view, about, look, it's never going to be a number one priority for people. That's the day. We're all used to it. We all like a day off after being back at work for a couple of weeks after Christmas. And that's probably as far as a lot of people want to go in terms of putting any sort of intellectual effort into it. So those, yeah, fear and laziness.
Whose responsibility do you think it is then to champion inclusivity and sensitivity around this issue? Do you think that this is a social issue that we need to be talking about in our everyday lives? Is this a political or a policy issue that we need to see action on from kind of those higher echelons of policymaking in our communities? There seems to be, I mean, a reluctance from some very important figures, like our Prime Minister, you know, has publicly said that he would like to keep things as they are. Whose responsibility do you think it is?
Look, I think it's a social issue. I often sort of refer back to the same-sex marriage debate and process, and that was sort of just a majority of people coming together and saying, this is wrong and we need to correct it. I have no faith whatsoever in a government leading on this issue of any strike, really. And they will be the last ones to the table. I'd say that also about treaty, that we need to start this as a social conversation and move it into a justice and equity conversation. And once everyone's on board, I know that there are church groups, unions, universities, corporates who are now sort of open to the idea of treaty. And I think once there's enough cover and enough support for that, the government will come in at the end. They will not lead on treaty, on Australia Day, on much, really.
Yeah, that was something that I wanted to touch on as well, that when we talk about Australia Day, especially in this context, it's talking about one day of the year, but there are 365 or four, I don't know, it's a leap year, I'm not sure, other days of the year that we need to be thinking about the ways in which we are supporting and championing our Indigenous communities. And you mentioned their treaties, and I know you do a lot of work on that. Do you think it's fair that this one day gets so much attention when there is so much additional work that needs to be done and that more causes that need attention?
No, not really, because I see this as part of a package, and some of the people who aren't interested in this discussion will always say that there are more urgent and pressing needs, particularly for Indigenous people, things like Indigenous child sexual abuse, poverty, unemployment, all of those things. And that is, of course, true, but we can walk and chew gum at the same time. It's what we do. Mm. And you know, throughout the years, as you say, I'm really interested in treaty, and treaty is a different relationship with this country, a different environment in which we will be in a stronger position to address all of those issues. You know, there is not one Indigenous person I've met who thinks changing the date is more important than Aboriginal kids. Mm. So, you know, that's used as a bit of a weapon against Indigenous people, another sort of lazy intellectual argument to try and kick the can down the road and to avoid the issue.
Mm. This panel that you're going to be a part of for the Sydney Festival is an incredible meeting of minds, and it's going to be a very interesting discussion. What are you most looking forward to about these conversations?
I'm looking forward to learning about it. You know, I don't come to this conversation with any great wisdom or any of the answers. I'm still really forming my view, particularly in terms of the process and, as I said before, the steps that we might take to be in a position to have a mature discussion around this stuff where we're not driven by fear, we're not driven by discomfort, we're driven by curiosity, and a genuine will to make this an inclusive event. And so people who, you know, on a very basic level, it's clear now that there's a whole range of people who don't like the date. Mm. So just in engaging in that conversation, being open to listening to that would be a start. But it's really the process of how we do that, that we have the maturity as a country to actually do this. Mm. You know, in a constructive way.
What are you hoping people take away from it?
I hope they take away that curiosity, that desire to, or a bit of motivation to have those discussions. And often at perhaps these sorts of events, there might be sort of a natural bias of the crowd. So we might all have some similar views. I don't know, they might chuck rotten tomatoes at me, but...
Gosh, I hope not. Oh, no.
We would, you know, hope to have the discussion. That's where these social changes come from, and to have those discussions with other people, as I say, in a constructive way. And, you know, that these things aren't that scary. Mm. There isn't a need for fear, that, you know, if we are genuine, that we want a nation that's defined by being inclusive, by looking after each other, then surely you should be open to at least having a yarn about it.
Absolutely. Lyndon, unfortunately, we'll have to leave us there, but thank you for joining us.
Thank you.